Blog Talk Radio. Thank you. Well, good morning, good evening, good afternoon there. My name's Vernon Bohr, a.k.a. Vernon, a.k.a. V-Cube. Obviously, the lead-in music has run out. Those of you in chat saw my message. I needed to reboot, and rebooting takes a little bit of time, but I'm back with you here. I know that I'm in Blog Talk Radio. It says it brought me back to a live show, even though I'm waiting for the studio to load. So once that loads, I'll be able to see the chat, and we'll have the show on the road there. Well, good evening, Sag, and guest 22937. Last night in overtime, we got... It's fascinating to me, and it's a conversation a lot of people don't have, and a lot of us are totally unaware of it, and it's not your normal conversation. You almost say this is philosophical. You might, who knows, deal with it as you may. But it came up within the context of Jackie asked the question at the end of the show in terms of something I talked about earlier Saturday afternoon. And what that was is I on how we know certain things and various realms of knowing. Now, that's not new. I talk about that a lot. But what I introduce is the possibility or the concept that there's things we know, you know, things that are in our realm of knowledge and experience, things we learn from school, things we learn from life, things we learn, whatever. And then there's also a whole realm and range of things we don't know. And that's usually bigger than what we know. What we don't know is everything else. And distinct thing between the two that's fascinating is that when you don't know something, you know how to access that. You know you don't know it, so you go ahead and if you decide that you do want to know it, you go ahead and look it up, study it, do whatever. So that's, you know, it's pretty standard. Today, in this day and age of the internet, it's great because you can find out all sorts of stuff. You want to fix your kitchen sink. Find out information how to do almost anything you don't know how to do. There's just tons of information out there in this information world. I had brought up this concept, if you will, of there's a whole other realm of knowledge, and that's it can be called what you don't know that you don't know. What you're blind to, what you're ignorant about, something you're totally unaware of. And I know it sounds like tautological, it sounds like tail chasing, it sounds like psychobabble in a way, but it's very real. Just because you and I don't know something doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. And the problem with having something that you don't know, it's not even accessible to you because how would you know that you didn't know something? You know, in my everyday life, you know, I've had a very fortunate life. I've done a lot of life. I think that life it's been a great adventure to me. I've done everything from build houses to locksmithing to spent a lot of time in school. I've pasted hair on rocks. I've worked in liquor stores. Delivered phone books. You know, if it could be done for work, a lot of what I've done. Now, there's a lot of stuff I haven't done as well. But, you know, I have a lot of experience. But when you don't know that you don't know something, it's not really available. And this came up within the context of discussing the internet and news media and television and all that, because we live in a information-rich time. And I think that one of the things that we fail to realize many times is what we don't know, about what we're faced with in terms of information, and we're blind to it. I hear a lot of people say, turn off your television, shut down the television, nothing but lies, you know, Fox News lies, MSNBC. That's all fine and well. Certainly agree with that. But what's frequently missing, I think, and what I think that a lot of us don't realize that we know is at the heart of it all, everybody's got an agenda. I heard it said one time that in life you're always either selling something or you're being sold. you know, people post stuff on the internet with an agenda. The agenda could be as simple as trying to show you out there how smart they are. The agenda could be as nefarious as trying to convince you and get you on board to sell you something you don't want, need, or a scam. But nevertheless, we live in a world where we've never had so much knowledge at our fingertips, and that we've never been so irresponsible about it, is what I'm going to say. Sort out the truth, the fact from fiction. I know, you know, you did turn off that television. No good will ever come of it. They'll lie to you, this, that, whatever. Well, as I suggested yesterday, I can't remember if I brought this up in the last night's show as well, but I did in the afternoon. Because when I look at it, when I look at YouTube and I look at all the stuff out there, you know, everyone's giving you a little bit of something to get something. There are pop-ups. I think there's more advertising than ever. I think that you get subjected to as much advertising, maybe 10 times more on the internet through the free stuff as you do on television. Now, it's not that you can't tune that out. I know that's not an earth-shattering revelation. But we seem to be kind of oblivious to it. It's kind of like we think that we circumvented the game, that we're smarter than that. We've become a bunch of smart rats. Not that long ago, or actually quite a long time ago, I did a piece on an NPR show that was run, and it says, facts are dead, something like that. I'll try and find that, because it might be worth going over. And one of the things that it brought up is, we live in an age in which facts have died and people have replaced them with manipulation. And so you get people that will post articles, for example, and they'll be heavily footnoted to give it a certain legitimacy, knowing two things, that 9 times out of 10, most people will these footnotes at the bottom tends to give something a validity, gravitas, whatever you want to call it, that given it a legitimacy that people will run with it. And now this is crazy because in the world in which we live is bad information is rampant. That is my experience, and it's bad information. I don't care if it be something as old hat as 9/11, or you pick it. And so I was thinking about this the other day. Is really, we are caught between a rock and a hard pile. What do we really turn off? Do we turn off our televisions? Yeah. Do we turn off our internet? Maybe. I've been saying for a long time now that bad information in the hands of someone that doesn't understand information technology is more dangerous than guns in the hand of someone that doesn't know what they're doing with it. Because it's easy enough when someone has a gun in their hand. They're limited in the amount of damage it can be done, but in this day and age of slick marketing, the internet, this information-rich time, where there's stuff all out there that's being sold with a legitimacy, or an apparent legitimacy that seems infallible, people will go for anything. They'll believe anything. And by people, I mean you and I and what we don't know, that we don't know, that realm that's not accessible to us to clean it up, is that we're every bit as much of a sucker as the next guy. See, it's kind of like an Alcoholics Anonymous. Unless until you admit and acknowledge that you have a drinking problem, you can't handle it. And most of us don't even want it. Doesn't even cross our mind that what we know might be flawed, faulty, incomplete, might deal in realms of things that we don't understand. And the beauty about something like the internet is it's out there 24/7. So once something gets out there, it stays and it grows and it takes on a life of its own. It's kind of like that old thing, you know, where you sit in the circle, little kids in school, and you start off with one person who's got a story, and he whispers it to the next person, and by the time it gets all the way around, you have no semblance of the original story. And this amazes me and fascinates me. And our current science has done a lot of digging into this. We've studied it a lot. I haven't talked a lot about that on this show, but there's a book, and it's by, I'll look him up. It's called Thinking Fast and Slow. Daniel Kahneman or something. And what they find when they study these brain experiments. Yeah, Kahneman, Daniel Kahneman. When they start doing these brain experiments, is that we are very much survival oriented. You know, in an evolutionary sense, it's real easy to understand that. See, we go for the stuff that makes sense, never questioning the logic structure by which we evaluate it. You've probably heard me say this before. It's one of my favorite quotes, Thomas Sowell. Some of these so-called thinking people could more accurately be described as articulate people whose verbal nimbleness evades evidence and logic. I had one like that come up today, this whole realm of knowledge and how do you know the accuracy of what you're looking at. And as you know, the weekend, and I happened to, someone had posted something on Facebook, and I went, well, wait a second, that doesn't add up. The dates were wrong, and it said that Labor Day, or as I read it, until I looked at it more closely, Labor Day was started by African Americans, the first Labor Day. And then I read it more carefully, and what it was talked about was not Labor Day, but Memorial Day. Well, that's interesting. I tend to be a very distrusting, and you can tell me anything, I'll buy it. See, if it doesn't affect my life directly, I'll say, okay, that's interesting. And to the extent I'm interested and find it interesting, I'll look it up later. To the extent that it strikes me as a little bit weird, strange, odd, doesn't add up, I'll tuck it away. And, you know, why would I have to – I don't really care. You know, you can believe anything you want. But I am just suspect of the relative ease with which we just accept whatever we're told out of hand. So anyway, this thing comes up, and I start to look at it. It was about Memorial Day, not Labor Day, but it was interesting. But it was inconsistent with something else I'd found and seen. And basically, what it was, it said that the African Americans started the first Memorial Day. Well, that's fine and well. I don't care who started it, but as I looked at it, I thought, well, wait a second. That seems inconsistent with something I've checked out many times. Not just checked out, because I've done a lot of Memorial Day shows. You know, the history of Memorial Day. You know, all this kind of stuff. And so I started looking it up. Well, depending on the source that you get when you look it up, you get a variety of different stories. So the question there, again, is now how do you reconcile fact from fiction? Now, Memorial Day is probably not too important. You know, it doesn't matter who started it. It was officially declared in, I can pull that one up in 1868, whatever. But it was interesting because the particular piece that I looked up is, yeah, there is a Yale professor. And it actually, he gives a talk. He always ends his talk, the end of it, with talking about you know, African Americans being responsible for the first memorial. Melville's poem on the slain collegians to introduce the horrifying slaughter of 1864. The architect of the strategy that would eventually lead to Union victory, but at the staggering human cost, was Ulysses S. Grant, brought east to assume control of all Union armies of 1864. And it goes on to say that how he always, Professor Blight closes his lecture with a description of the first Memorial Day. See, now you get you will get people going round and round, fighting back and forth out there in terms of what's true on this. Things can be both true. So the whole point is I want to get us into this realm of being willing to, or not just being willing to, is just kind of out of hand, if you will, questioning everything, but not in the sense that so many people use that. I remember that was a mantra of my youth, you know, question everything. You can't trust anyone over 30. But what we really meant was reject everything. You know, if someone told you something, they were over 30, then you couldn't believe them. And there's a delicate balance between, in fact, questioning everything. See, another ad there. I wanted to pull up something there. It had a piece on MSN about the oldest man alive, but it's a video. And for me to see the video, it's going to run the ad by me. And in this particular case, I'd have to reset my sound level, so I didn't do it. So that is important. See, I have an audience out here, or let's put it this way. I don't know my audience personally. I don't know most of you personally, only those of you that call in. I love you all. Yeah, I've heard some great talk and banter on Blog Talk Radio. But, you know, I consider you all probably pretty intelligent. But, see, you're all subject to believing the stuff that you want to believe, and how it believe gets in the way of how we see things. It never lets us see things rightly. So, you know, I think that the Internet is every bit as dangerous as television. I think it's important and it behooves us, if we care about the truth, and if we think the truth buys us anything, I think it's important to take that to heart and take anything we hear with a grain of salt. And I'll tell you, Blog Talk Radio, and I don't care whether it be me or anyone, absolutely take that with a grain of salt. Blog Talk Radio is an entertainment medium. You know, you can dress it up, fluff it up. You can put lipstick on it, like lipstick on a pig. But at the end of the day, you know, Blog Talk Radio, it's showtime. You know, when the clock rolls around for me on Saturday and Sunday night, it's showtime. Vernon Bohr, aka Vernon, aka V Cube, jumps on the mic with you guys and takes off. Take us. You know, I try and put together things, and it goes all different ways. No one knows what's going to happen, and we all get on the roller coaster together. And you know, I wind up the weekend, and we get on to something else. So when you're listening to Blog Talk Radio, I think that this particular medium is interesting because in some of the other shows that I listen to from time to time can be nothing but a gossip paradise. So anyway, as that whole thing, you know, question it. How often do you think about it? And think about how you're being manipulated. One of the things, there was a guy, Marshall McLuhan, and he's noted for a very famous phrase, "The medium is the message." And he said something very interesting in one of his talks. It's always stuck with me. And basically he says television is an audio medium. Now, that sounds strange. We watch television or we watch movies. But what he was saying is, no, it's, yes, the visuals are there, but they're there to get across an audio or other message. You know, stripped away from language, what you see on television, see in movies, whatever, has meaning. And And I'm always amazed by it because it leads to things like this one that came up that someone posted today. And they posted a link to Snopes, and what it was is Fukushima emergency. And for those of you who don't know, I'm pretty sure you all do, Snopes is just supposed to be a debunking site, you know, to debunk internet myths. Anyway, what the thing was is image purportedly shows radioactive seepage spreading across the Pacific Ocean from Fukushima power nuclear plant. And they say this is false. And they give an example. Well, I've long wondered about this. This started to hit me years ago when they used to do pictures of the ozone hole over Antarctica and everything. And all of a sudden one day I'm looking at the newspaper and I say, and I've read a lot of the papers on the early work there, and the mappings of the concentrations. I thought, wow. First of all, it's a thinning, not really a hole per se. Dramatic about the visual, and this is a very dramatic image. But what it can do is it can brainwash you, brainwash me into believing that things are worse than they are, or take us down a totally false trail. So the piece said, you know, Japan's nuclear watchdog has now declared the leak of radioactive water from Fukushima emergency. Each day, 300 tons of radioactive water seeps into the ocean, and it's now clear that TEPCO has engaged in a 2.5-year cover up of immense magnitude. Well, Snopes goes on to say the massive earthquake, talks about the power plant. It says in August 2013, news accounts quoted an official from Japanese Nuclear Regulatory Authority is stating the highly radioactive water was seeping from the plant into the Pacific Oceans, creating an emergency. And they go on, let's see if we get down to the whole point, because it's a pretty scary looking map. But you know what? If you did these, people wouldn't feel so bad. You know, and we discuss it a lot on here. We discuss the role of our government. I've said this many times. Many times. Wow, our science advisor, the audio's choppy. I tried to reboot, and I don't know what happened. Maybe I'll not talk so fast or something. I'll slow down my talking. Happy tonight. That's why I rebooted. I'm upgrading my processor and machine. I'll try and talk a little slower. Maybe it'll chop a little bit less. You know, I'm just an excitable guy here. I like to talk fast. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Like, booted the machine. Let me see if there's something running in the background here. It's kind of like I hate it with computers. Wow, I got more things open right now than I did before I rebooted. Oh, well. We'll just deal with it. Sometimes it's BTR. Sometimes it's me. I never know which one it is. Let's see if I can figure out which module here is. You know, it's probably a couple things here. See if we can get something as good as possible. And it's is choppy. So what you said, I've got our science advisor in the chat room there. So you took a Geiger counter down to the ocean. What kind of counts were you getting? You know, I did a piece last night that said that tuna had been measured for radioactivity, tuna coming all the way from Fukushima, and that they had found that radioactivity levels in tuna had in fact gone up. Here's the article. This site here, samuelwarden.com. It's almost like you need to look up whoever reserved the domain name. Nice looking magazine-ish site. It looks like it's actually a WordPress type site. It's well laid out. Well, it looks very legitimate. But who in the hell is he? Who in the hell is he that's putting this stuff out here? Oh, we'll see. I don't know that it's going to give us all cancer, you know. Yeah, that's an interesting one, though. Ingesting radiation is different. See, that's another thing you hear people talk about. Radiation is if you ingest it, then you've got radioactive material, radioactive decay going on inside of your body, and it can blast those DNA molecules. Well, we don't want to get everyone in a tizzy and scare everyone to death. So, since I did my little thing on what to know, don't know, I'm going to go into another one that I think is kind of interesting. It's on a totally different topic here. See what people have to say about this one. This one was fascinating. Someone posted it, and Texas dad beats his daughter's child molester to death. And he won't be charged. And what kind of emotion does that evoke in most people? Interesting story. You know, there was Ellie Nessler way back there. I don't know if you guys snuck a gun into the courtroom and shot her grandson's molester, killed him dead in the courtroom. She got jail time. She did the crime. She did the time. Even though people were sympathetic with her, they still found her guilty. She did jail time. But in this particular case, it seems like Texas has a different law. Don't mess with Texas. The Texas father walked in on his 5-year-old daughter being molested and wasted no time in beating the man to death. The grand jury found the dad not guilty due to a state law that allows deadly force to be used to stop an aggravated sexual assault. No gun deaths here. He did it the old-fashioned way. The incident occurred June 9th near Shiner, Texas. That guy wound up with more than a shiner, didn't he? Someone spotted a farmhand carrying the girl into a secluded area and alerted the girl's father. The concerned parent ran toward his daughter's screams and found them both in their with their underwear off. He flew into a rage and beat Flores into unconsciousness. When he was sure the man was no longer a threat, he called 911 to report on the incident. Come on, this guy is going to die on me. I don't know what to do, he yelled. The event was treated as a homicide, but the father did not go to jail and will not be charged with a crime. What do you think about that? You know, should he have been charged with a crime? Yeah, is that, can people take the law into their own hands like that? Is it a slippery slope? I don't know. Did the guy get his due? Some of the comments I saw in there that I thought was fascinating is someone says, well, wait a second. What happened to the farmhand that reported the abuse? You know, why didn't he get in there and try and stop it? You know, don't mess around with Texas. They say they're pretty touchy about things like that. Let's see. You want me to know if a comment came up? Fukushima cancer risks, ongoing saga at nuclear plant, dangerously murkier. Over 10 times more workers suffered cancer-inducing radiation doses than TEPCO admitted. Well, let's take that apart a little bit. You know, I don't really know. I don't know much about the site here, but you know, I've heard that report that TEPCO didn't accurately report the leakage. But I tend to be someone that likes to see hard data more than relative data. You know, what is 10 times more than reported? How much do they report? Fukushima cancer risk surge, the ongoing saga of the Fukushima nuclear plant in Japan that suffered a triple meltdown in March 2011, just got dangerously murkier. The number of workers who suffered cancer-inducing radiation doses is not 178, but 1,978. Asahi Shimbun reported on Friday. That's 11 times more than admitted by TEPCO, the owner of the plant, in December. Now, here's something interesting about that. Is what they're talking about is workers that suffered exposure to cancer. And when you read something like that, how does it ring for you? Does it ring as a problem for the rest of the world from the leakage out in the ocean, or is that just a local problem of workers that were in the plant and as such were exposed to high levels of radiation? More people than were in fact reported originally. Very shaky records of radiation testing and results have been maintained. The Fukushima continues to leak radiation into the sea and the groundwater, and TEPCO appears to have no clue as to what is happening. Well, don't you think that maybe that's a place where the Japanese government needs to get more deeply involved? I wonder, you know, I don't know. I think the site's legit. I don't think that a lot of the sites are unnecessarily legit. It's just, I don't know the background of the people that put them together. I've just started a lot of research on aspartame and it's the sweetener, you know, and when people all of a sudden discover it, you know, it keeps getting rehashed over and over and over. Aspartame's been out there as one of the killers, much like fluoride, for years and years and years and years and years now. And all of a sudden I find that there are people, will be people that discover it, had not heard about it before. And so we enter in that whole realm. And so they direct me to sites that have reports that say certain things. And as we all know, no one can lie on the internet. One of the things I'd like to know, does anyone out there know how much nuclear fuel they had? See, this falls in the realm of calculation. Well, we don't know how much. This is a dilution problem, you know. Clearly, I don't know how much radioactivity is leaked out. There's cesium-130. First of all, you have to look at the half lives of the cesium compounds, and I think they're ones like 2 years. I looked that up the other day. I don't know how much radioactivity is actually leaked out, because that would have to be, you know, a lot of the rods were radioactive. And the question is, are they in fact, how to cesium? But it's the type of problem that needs to really be sat down and calculated. And the bluefin tuna thing that I did last night and that I mentioned right now, they said that the increase in radiation in the tuna that they'd measured, it increased some 3%. Now, I don't know, and it was still considered below, well below the dangerous level by the FDA. Now, you know, the question is, do you believe your FDA? Do you believe that your FDA lies to you? Let's see what it did. The final part, the half-life of cesium-134 is 2.652 years. Cesium-137, the half-life is 30.17 years. The dilution factor is it would take time for it to seep out there. And like I say, I don't know how much is seeping out there. What they said here is the FDA assures us that our food supply is safe and that levels of radiation found in fish samples are within the safe limits of consumption. But one has to question if this is true, and if it is true now, will it remain true? Is this like the statement issued from TEPCO, another attempt to quell a public backlash in the face of an unprecedented event that, as of yet, has no solution and no sight end in sight? Well, what about the Gulf spill, too? I had one in there, you know, the Gulf spill. What, how many years that been? 3-4 years? You know, we see all the ads of British petroleum industry, something like that, telling us how wonderful. But for the most part, that one's forgotten. You know, how many spills, how many contaminations, how many this and that's can we in fact experience on the planet? And in our consciousness today and out of consciousness tomorrow. And has anyone ever really done any demographics on the rate of cancer? You know, it's funny that this comes into play right now. I had not thought about this before. But remember, we bombed Japan during World War II. Hiroshima and Nagasaki, right? Just nailed them. Nailed them with radioactivity, high radioactivity. And now what's funny, though, is that in terms of life expectancy, Japan tends to lead the world in life expectancy. Now, I find that fascinating. I don't know that it means anything. I'm not saying that they live longer because of the radioactive material. Absolutely not. But we just seem to be able to get our panties in a pinch and froth to a frenzy whenever anything like this happens. And I'm not saying it's good. I don't know. You know, here's what I tell people to do. Get rid of the maps that you see that they draw all these yellow and red, you know, from source of origin and out. Zoom back from a map. Bring up Google Earth if you want. And zoom out. Look up Fukushima on the map and its relative size with respect to the rest of the planet. The planet is 70% ocean. Now, there again, I am not saying that this is good or whatever. I don't even know what the relative radioactivity of the ocean currently is. I don't know if they're measuring the radioactivity in the ocean waters around Fukushima. Does someone want to post something like that for me? Well, no, I have no problem. Let's keep the disaster in the public attention. Absolutely, I don't have any problem with that. What I'm saying is rather than everyone getting their panties in a pinch and going ballistic, let's actively attention span of a gnat. You know, so everyone, you know, it's like I say, the article I was looking for that I had is that some guy just died. Here we go. Another blog. Nothing wrong with blogs. You know, so other than my disclaimer is that I can only give you a link. Vouch for the veracity or accuracy of the information, but it's certainly worth following up on. But look at this one. Okay, an 83-year-old man living in Terrebonne Parish, Louisiana, has died from contracting a flesh-eating lemming in the Louisiana Gulf Coast waters. Three others are ill from the same virus known as Varia vulgare. Flesh-eating virus caused by BP Corexit spill kills man in Louisiana. Now, he's got the article. In the beginning of the article here, it says it's a naturally occurring bacteria. So is it really tied to the BP spill? But you get this out here. I'll bet you I could post this. This will go out. People will post it. And pretty soon, without ever having read the article, without ever having said that it's a naturally occurring bacteria, without ever having established the link of the virus to the oil spill, whether it's increased, decreased, whatever, but by putting a picture in this blog post of a guy that's got a big tar ball in his hands, everyone now knows. Everyone now knows that BP is responsible for a flesh-eating bacteria killing someone. We live in this time. Listen, I agree. The world should focus its attentions on resolving Fukushima and what can we do there. I don't know. It's hard for me to believe that there's nothing that we can do to stem the flow of radioactivity in the ocean, and in fact try and contain it. I don't know why. There again, I don't know the physical location. I don't know the breaks or fissures. I don't know anything what's going on there, but it seems to me that the world. See, here's the problem. It comes up in the chat room. We haven't paid enough attention to Fukushima. Legitimate. No problem with that. But here we sit talking about it on Blog Talk Radio with me tonight, me using it as an example of people getting their panties in a pinch about something that happened. Every once in a while, a story like this leaks out. And then this is going to go away, within 2-3 weeks. Talking about it until people say, oh, when are you going to quit talking about that shit? I'm tired about it. I've heard about it. Let's get on to something interesting. Let's move on. It's something that has the potential right now in oceans where the radioactivity can be carried around the globe through the ocean currents. It's something that affects far more than the Japanese people. And so why aren't the governments of the world working on this? You got a planet of 6-7 billion, right? Terrible things happening in Syria right now. This has the possibility with no war. I don't have the answer to that. And what can we do individually? Certainly could start writing your elected officials. We've talked about that before. We can't even get them to do what's right by us here in the United States. But nevertheless, let them know is that, hey, here's something of massive proportions, apocalyptic proportions. What is the United States doing to assist Japan in getting this thing handled so the potential dangers to the whole ocean can be mitigated early? See, I say it again. I assert that we are big on talk. Action talks, bullshit walks. And we're full of bullshit. The human race is just full of shit. And that's one of the things that it doesn't know that it doesn't know. Everyone's so busy out there trying to share with everyone else how smart they are. We live in a time where everyone's the smartest kid in the classroom. Everyone knows everything about everything. I don't know how many people are going to listen to this show. I don't know what action is going to come of it. I'll make you a promise. I'll go ahead and write my two senators and my representatives. I'll go to their websites at least and say, how can you possibly be ignoring this, and what's my Congress doing about it? Because, clearly the United States has as much of an obligation. See, that's something that directly affects the people of the United States. I know the president said the other day that he had the authority to bomb Syria or do whatever he's going to do to Syria without Syria Congress. But he'd wait to talk to him out of respect and all this stuff. I'm going bullshit. How's he come up with that? Because from my point of view, that's not an immediate threat to the United States. It's a, it is a horrendous thing happening people gassing their own people, and from a moralistic standpoint, it's not very good. But you start talking about what's going on Fukushima, is that does have a potential to very much affect us and the rest of the world. But if we're going to be dealing with in a selfish fashion with our own thing, that's something of national security, something we should be. That's not something that's that requires an army. We're not shooting bullets at each other, but when radioactivity is seeping into the ocean, getting into the fish, getting into the food supply, who knows what it's going to cause? Eat that radioactive fish, you know. Now, as I keep saying, radioactivity gets in the body, and it can do direct tissue damage, can do direct DNA damage, you know, being out of radiation. Clearly, you know, sunlight, people talk about the increased cases of melanoma. But you're only dealing with skin molecules there, not the basic genetic structure for reproduction. So it'll be interesting to see what happens down the line. Yeah, I would have no problem saying that Fukushima should be kicked to the top of the list of something important. Go talk to them. Ask them what Congress is doing and report back to us next week. Ask if the Congress is doing anything with regard to what's going on in Fukushima, because from what you read and what you know and what's been being leaked out there, this is a problem the whole world faces in a way that Syria doesn't. And that's not to justify what's going on in Syria. It's just that, you know, what did they say, 1,500 people were killed? Terrible. How many people die of accidents today on the planet? I think we got our priorities screwed up, because I don't know that we have we're very good at sorting through information. And we got a lot of it. Got a lot of it to sort through. And remember, the children are our future. I'm sorry for laughing, folks. I think that humanity and human beings are hypocrites. I don't say that in a negative way. I say it's like a characteristic, just like we have a nose on our face. There's a hypocrisy that's rampant in humanity. You know, we're all courageous when not faced with showing our courage. You know, someone calls us on it, sometimes we'll weasel out. I had that happen when I got out of the armies. I was courageous and stood up to someone because everyone was going to back me. And when that person faced everyone else down, and no, they put it on me. He came back to try and find me so he could shoot me. But needless to say, I survived. Here, bomb Syria, even if it is illegal. This is from the New York Times. Okay, is that a good, reputable, reliable source of information? And is that alternate or alternative media? Even though you look at stuff that gets posted, that's from Fox and MSNBC. Evanston, Illinois, the latest atrocities in the Syrian civil war, which has killed more than 100,000 people, demand an urgent response to further massacres and to punish President Bashar al-Assad. But there is widespread confusion over the legal basis for the use of force in these terrible circumstances. As a legal matter, the Syrian government's use of chemical weapons does not automatically justify armed intervention by the United States. I think what's going on over there is tragic. But I know that as I was thinking about this the other day, and as it goes back and forth, you know, the thought that comes to my mind is, well, do we really have any business stepping in? fact be appreciated, and will it really accomplish anything? There are moral reasons for disregarding the law, and I believe the Obama administration should intervene in Syria. But it should not pretend that there is a legal justification in the existing law. Heaven forbid, can you believe it? Someone that's interested in the truth. Because we're going to take it upon ourselves to be the moral judge of the world. We're going to come in here and stop this, because these are crimes against humanity. And we know that there's nothing happening over there that allows us to go over there. Secretary of State John Kerry seemed to do just that on Monday when he said, weapons, this international norm cannot be violated without consequences. His use of the words norm instead of law is telling. We live in crazy times. Well, the President of the United States didn't say that it wasn't. He said that he was empowered to do so. I mean, boy, I tell you, I think that we need to start getting our act together, our shit together, and I think we need to start calling these guys on all the executive order stuff, the playing around, messing around with the system. Last night we had a great show, in my opinion. I enjoyed doing it, kicking around alternative ways of picking our elected officials so that maybe they might be more accountable to all of us and do a better job, and that we could get more people in there that, with integrity, and people that would have some honor and virtue. The courts want to legislate from the bench. The president want to expend. What the Congress is trying to do, but they're so screwed up fighting with each other, you know, probably doesn't matter. As far as I'm concerned, they could keep fighting till hell freezes over, and the less legislation, the fewer new laws we have, the better. But, you know, the president said it. He says, I have the right to make that decision to go into Syria. Well, I could see he has the right to make the Syrians were showing up on our doorstep, had an armada or something out there. But when what's going on is internal, we had a problem with us going into Iraq. I know the way it was all struck, we tried to legitimize it. And I also know that it's easy to call it after the fact and say, well, you know, they made it up to get us in over there. But, you know, it's easy to call things after the fact. Everyone knows how it should have been done after it's all over. We're great prognosticators about the past and the future. And no one ever takes responsibility for a bad prediction in the past when things come to pass and they're wrong. They certainly take credit when they're right. Syria is a party of neither the Biological Weapons Convention of 1972 nor the Chemical Weapons Convention of 1993. And even if it were, the treaties rely on the United Nations Security Council to enforce them, a major flaw. Syria is a party to the Geneva Protocol of 1920. What about the claim that the treaties side chemical weapons are inherently prohibited? While some acts, genocide, slavery, and piracy are considered unlawful regardless of treaties, chemical weapons are not yet in this category. As many as 10 countries have stocks of chemical weapons today, with the largest held by Russia and the United States. Both countries are slowly destroying their stockpiles, but missed what was supposed to be a final deadline last year for doing so. And when it's all said and done, do you think something will be rat-holed in secret? Just a question. You know, not trying to disparage the government, But, you know, a lot happens without our knowledge. There's no doubt that Mr. Assad's government has violated humanitarian principles throughout the two-year-old war, including the prohibition of indiscriminate killing of civilians. Unless the Security Council agrees to act, it is an indictment of the current state of international law that there is no universally recognized justice to intervene. What do we do with respect to Syria? What do we do with respect to Syria?
What do we do with respect to errant BTR hosts who overstepped the mark big time?
Well, I don't know. That's not covered by international law or the National Security Council. Or
It's a messy thing.
The line here?
Did I
overstep the line?
Now you know what I'm talking about. Or did Skype just fuck up? Are you there?
I usually make it a point not to talk about other BTR hosts.
Well, you can discuss this. This should be a how-to on how to 404 your BTR show. Because that show ain't going to be around. I suggest everybody go listen, because in a couple of days, that show won't be there anymore.
Well, it's like I say, it's not my job to moderate other BTR hosts or to talk about them here, but I'm sure you got something to say about Syria.
Well, I just came fresh from the melee over there. You know, when you make a phone call from the BTR switchboard,
this happens on BTR about
very hard when you make a phone call. And
were they talking about the show?
What's that?
Was this show talking about my show? Were they bad mouthing me and my show and my callers and my?
I don't think they're aware. I don't think they're aware of your show.
See, because if they're talking bad about my show, then I should show up on their show to defend myself. But I'm kind of against beating up on people that aren't here.
Oh, no, don't worry. They won't be here in any shape or form, because that show is gone. You're seeing the last couple versions of it. I expect tomorrow will be a show, but on Tuesday I expect it'll be gone. 404, poof, gone.
Let's not soil our hands talking about other shows on this one.
I haven't mentioned the show, have I? You do know what I'm talking about.
No, I haven't mentioned it either. I don't know what
people
don't
do. It's that one where they all talk over each other. You know the one that just used the switchboard to call my parents' house and leave harassing messages, which I have copies of, and copies of the incoming call. Isn't the internet great? You can log in and just grab them right up. Use the switchboard to make a phone call.
Imports.
Huh? I'm not hearing you. You're cutting out for some reason. Why is that?
No, they told me. They told me that I have no idea what I can do. Am I still flipping in the chat room? Am I still? They told me that earlier. I've rebooted once. I'll tell you what. I will.
I can tell you right now. Skype and BTR is very bad.
Well, okay. What I'm going to do here is I am going to go ahead and try a reboot. Last night was fine, wasn't it?
Last night was no problems. But if I talk, you disappear.
Yeah, well, it's like the what the old half duplex, was that what it was, where you'd switch in and out and you could talk both ways in the old days? I can't remember.
Couldn't tell you.
Let me go ahead and reboot, folks. Let's see. I'll go ahead and I wish you had the ability to set up a board to have a whole bunch of things.
Well, what you should do is you always should take your cell phone and dial into your switchboard.
Oh, no, because I wouldn't do that.
Why?
Huh?
Why?
Well, because I only use my cell phone my cell phone's not that good. It's a piece of crap.
Then use your home phone.
Let's see here. I think I'll find something here that should get me through a reboot. I got rid of my home phone.
Oh, I did that many, many years ago when AT&T offered unlimited calling for $90. When they just first came out with GSM phones, I was one of the charter members. I got rid of all the phones.
Yeah, I figured, well, we live in an age of such bad phone reception that and so many people call on cell phones and they're problematic that I figured, what the hell? I could live with. I should have something on here. Looking for something around 10 minutes so that I can totally shut everything down. I got a whole bunch of things that are broken up into short clips.
Short clips of what?
Well, sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't.
I got 2-3 minute messages recorded and logged of a BTR host calling somebody who doesn't even know what BTR is, and harassing them from the switchboard phone number. How cool is that?
This is changing the educational paradigm. Folks, I'm going to go ahead and start this one. I'm going to totally reboot and see if I can get a good connection.
You don't even hear me.
Vern, a.k.a. V-Cube. I'll be right back with you.
Every country on earth at the moment is reforming public education. There are two reasons for it. The first of them is economic. People are trying to work out how do we educate our children to take their place in the economies of the 21st century. How do we do that? Given that we can't anticipate what the economy will look like at the end of next week, as the recent turmoil is demonstrating. How do we do that? The second, though, is cultural. Every country on earth is trying to figure out how do we educate our children so they have a sense of cultural identity and so that we can pass on the cultural genes of our communities while being part of the process of globalization. How do we square that circle? The problem is they're trying to meet the future by doing what they did in the past. And on the way, they're alienating millions of kids who don't see any purpose in going to school. When we went to school, we were kept there with a story, which is if you work hard and did well and got a college degree, you would have a job. Our kids don't believe that. And they're right not to, by the way. You're better having a degree than not, but it's not a guarantee anymore. And particularly not if the route to it marginalizes most of the things that you think are important about yourself. Some people say we have to raise standards if this is a breakthrough. You know, like, really, yes, we should. Why would you lower them? You know, I mean, I haven't come across an argument that persuades me of lowering them. But raising them, of course we should raise them. The problem is that the current system of education was designed and conceived and structured for a different age. It was conceived in the intellectual culture of the Enlightenment and in the economic circumstances of the Industrial Revolution. Before the middle of the 19th century, there were no systems of public education. Not really. I mean, you could get educated by Jesuits, you know, if you had the money. But public education, paid for from taxation, compulsory to everybody and free at the point of delivery, that was a revolutionary idea. And many people objected to it. They said it's not possible for many street kids, working class children, to benefit from public education. They're incapable of learning to read and write, and why are we spending time on this? So there's also built into it a whole series of assumptions about social structure and capacity. It was driven by an economic imperative of the time, but running right through it was an intellectual model of the mind, which was essentially the Enlightenment view of intelligence, that real intelligence consists in the capacity for a certain type of deductive reasoning and a knowledge of the classics originally, what we come to think of as academic ability. And this is deep in the gene pool of public education, that there are really two types of people, academic and non-academic, smart people and non-smart people. And the consequence of that is that many brilliant people think they're not, because they've been judged against this particular view of the mind. So we have twin pillars, economic and intellectual. And my view is that this model has caused chaos in many people's lives. It's been great for some. There have been people who have benefited wonderfully from it. But most people have not. Instead, they suffer this. This is the modern epidemic, and it's as misplaced and it's as fictitious. This is the plague of ADHD. Now, this is a map of the incidence of ADHD in America, or prescriptions for ADHD. Don't mistake me here. I don't mean to say there is no such thing as attention deficit disorder. I'm not qualified to say if there is such a thing. I know that a great majority of psychologists and pediatricians think there is such a thing. But it's still a matter of debate. What I do know for a fact is it's not an epidemic. These kids are being medicated as routinely as we had our tonsils taken out. And on the same whimsical basis, and for the same reason, medical fashion. Our children are living in the most intensely stimulating period in the history of the earth. They're being besieged with information and calls to their attention from every platform, computers, from iPhones, from advertising holdings, from hundreds of television channels. And we're penalizing them now for getting distracted. From what? You know, boring stuff at school, for the most part. It seems to me it's not a coincidence, totally, that the incidence of ADHD has risen in parallel with the growth of standardized testing. Now, these kids are being given Ritalin and Adderall and all manner of things, often quite dangerous drugs, to get them focused and calm them down. But according to this, attention deficit disorder increases as you travel east across the country. People start losing interest in Oklahoma. They can hardly think straight in Arkansas. And by the time they get to Washington, they've lost it completely. And there are separate reasons for that, I believe. It's a fictitious epidemic. If you think of it, the arts, and I don't say this exclusively the arts, I think it's also true of science and of maths, but I say about the arts particularly because they are the victims of this mentality currently, particularly. The arts especially address the idea of aesthetic experience. An aesthetic experience is one in which your senses are operating at their peak, when you're present in the current moment, when you're resonating with the excitement of this thing that you're experiencing, when you are fully alive. An anesthetic is when you shut your senses off and deaden yourself to what's happening. And a lot of these drugs are that. We're getting our children through education by anesthetizing them. And I think we should be doing the exact opposite. We shouldn't be putting them asleep. We should be waking them up to what they have inside of themselves. But the model we have is this. I believe we have a system of education that is modeled on the interests of industrialism and in the image of it. I'll give you a couple of examples. Schools are still pretty much organized on factory lines, so ringing bells, separate facilities, specialized into separate subjects. We still educate children by batches. You know, we put them through the system by age group. Why do we do that? You know, why is there this assumption that the most important thing kids have in common is how old they are? You know, it's like the most important thing about them is their date of manufacture. You know what I mean? Well, I know kids who are much better than other kids at the same age in different disciplines. know, or at different times of the day, or better in smaller groups than in large groups, or sometimes they want to be on their own. If you're interested in the model of learning, you don't start from this production line mentality. It's essentially about conformity, and increasingly it's about that as you look at the growth of standardized testing and standardized curricula, and it's about standardization. I believe we've got to go in the exact opposite direction. That's what I mean about changing the paradigm. There was a great study done recently of divergent thinking, published a couple of years ago. Divergent thinking isn't the same thing as creativity. I define creativity as the process of having original ideas that have value. Divergent thinking isn't a synonym, but it's an essential capacity for creativity. It's the ability to see lots of possible answers to a question, lots of possible ways of interpreting a question, to think what Edward de Bono would probably call laterally, to think not just in linear or convergent ways, to see multiple answers, not one. So, I mean, there are tests for this. I mean, one kind of cod example would be people might be asked to say, how many uses can you think of for a paperclip? Well, those routine questions. Most people might come up with 10 or 15. People who are good at this might come up with 200. And they do that by saying, well, could the paperclip be 200 foot tall and be made out of foam rubber? You know, like, does it have to be a paperclip as we know it, Jim? You know. Now, they tested this, and they gave them to 1,500 people. This is in a book called Breakpoint and Beyond. And on the protocol of the test, if you scored above a certain level, you'd be considered to be a genius at divergent thinking. Okay? So my question to you is, what percentage of the people tested, of the 1,500, scored at genius level for divergent thinking? Now, you need to know one more thing about them. These were kindergarten children. So what do you think? What percentage at genius level? 80, okay. 98%. Now, the thing about this was it was a longitudinal study. So they retested the same children 5 years later, ages of 8 to 10. What do you think? 50? They retested them again 5 years later, ages 13 to 15. You can see a trend here, can't you? Now, this tells an interesting story, because you could have imagined it going the other way, couldn't you? You start off not being very good, but you get better as you get older. But this shows two things. One is, we all have this capacity, and two, it mostly deteriorates. Now, a lot of things have happened to these kids as they've grown up. A lot. But one of the most important things that happened to them, I'm convinced, is that by now, they've become educated. You know, they've spent 10 years at school being told there's one answer, it's at the back. And don't look. And don't copy, because that's cheating. I mean, outside schools, that's called collaboration. You know, but inside schools. Now, this isn't because teachers want it this way. It's just because it happens that way. It's because it's in the gene pool of education. We have to think differently about human capacity. We have to get over this old conception of academic, non-academic, abstract, theoretical, vocational, and see it for what it is, a myth. Secondly, we have to recognize that most great learning happens in groups, that collaboration is the stuff of growth. If we atomize people and separate them and judge them separately, we form a kind of disjunction between them and their natural learning environment. And thirdly, it's crucially about the culture of our institutions, the habits of the institution, and the habitats that they occupy.
Okay, folks. Yes. Let's see what happened. Something was going on. I hate computers that decide that they're going to take care of you. Is that any better? Am I still clipping? I had, there's still something going on there. I had to shut down a whole bunch of processes. In fact, I had a bunch of stuff kicking in. Wow. So, yeah, I made it back, folks. Nice to see you're all still here. That you're all still here. And so, man, time flies when you're having fun. Don't you just hate it when your computer takes over and decides it's going to take care of you and download crap? Huh? I like to make do that stuff myself. I'm kind of old fashioned, I guess. You know, I just hate all the stuff that goes on in the background. I hate it, hate it. So, what do you think about that whole new educational paradigm? You know, the problem with this, it's easy to see things that are problematic. That's one of those ones where they do the talk and then the artist comes back in and draws it all in. I wish we had the visual there, but that's okay. And but you never know what's going to happen when you step in the future. I'm going to make one quick thing about comment about education and models where the system is, you know, since that's where I played before I left, and then we'll move on to other stuff. Here is the problem. The way they used to do it, if someone had some thought or idea about what would work in the educational system, they would test it, so to speak. And you could volunteer to become a new method of teaching that just didn't seem to work well. You would only lose a couple people in the whole mix. But I think we've got to get in and change everything at once. And what you wind up doing, you wind up having a huge beta test on the student population. And that's may or may not be really bad. One of the problems with it, though, I think, is you run into a situation of when something doesn't work, you totally entire generation of young people and kids. Now, you know, what the hell? What the hell are kids for other than to screw up? What is education and what are kids for other than to leave them screwed up in the world and fend for themselves? Am I still not clipping? Since I can't hear myself, I need to get another computer going along the way and see how it is.
That's not what you need at all. What you need is a cheap tablet like a Google Nexus and that microphone that I showed you.
I'm still listening.
Well, that was a pause allowing you to talk, but you didn't take it.
Over? Huh? We could do it that way. Over?
I don't think we need to. It's just your thing you screwed up, not me. So just imagine if you were using... I didn't hear... If you're saying something, all I hear is over.
No, I haven't said anything other than over. I'm just testing your hearing right now.
Yeah, that's good. Test away. If you had a decent tablet, you could run just that, and I think it would work fine. You could do your whole show from that tablet, I bet.
Well, you know, like I say, I'm doing a major upgrade here. Yeah, when it's all put together and running, which should be within the next week, any competing process.
But what does that sound like? You're sitting in you have a fan blowing on you? You do have a fan blowing on you, don't you?
No, that's you.
No, that's not.
Listen, me. I have no fans, but listen.
But
to
I
that.
I can't hear. I can't hear myself.
Yeah, but I can. I'll go ahead. Listen, what I'll do is you keep talking. I'm going to mute me and see if it...
Oh, I wasn't even aware that I was muted or unmuted. I didn't even hear it, which tells me that it's really screwy. Extremely screwy.
I can literally do... Here's what I'm going to do is I am going to... hopefully won't make it choppy. Is I've got the ability to... One of the things that when you record on VTR, I think it filters out the noise, because I've had stuff where I can hear background like this, and then I download the file, and it's...
No, I have to stop you. You have a sound in your background like wind rushing past the microphone.
But I can hear it when I mute my mic, too.
where's it coming from?
You're the only one that's hot right
no,
now.
No, I can't hear myself. I can't hear myself. I don't hear myself talk. I don't hear background noise coming from my microphone. I'm hearing something coming from somewhere else.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to mute myself again. I'm recording this locally here, and it will pick up the noise, and I'll be able to play it back for you later. Hang on. But I will totally mute me, so you're the only one on, and then I will mute you, and then I'll have the test file that you can see. It's not coming from my end.
Well, if it's not coming from you and it's not coming from me, where is it coming from? Why don't you ask the chat room? I'm sure they hear the same thing I do.
Can you in the chat room hear that kind of a hiss?
It's not a hiss. It is the sound of wind going past the microphone.
Well,
almost
okay.
Sounds like you've got a fan blowing on the microphone.
Now, what I'm going to do, folks, is I'm going to mute myself. I'm going to mute myself for 30 seconds and see if it goes away. When I mute myself, I can still hear my headset.
Turning out to be a fine show.
I got there. That was the feed for playing something over. That better?
Don't hear it anymore. You done blaming me?
Say that again?
I said, are you done blaming me?
Well, yeah, I'm trying to think. I'm going to try and up my gain. I can hear you very well right now.
Well, my gain is all the way up. I've been driving everybody crazy over there, but still doesn't lead to contacting people off BTR. I don't even know what BTR is. Very interesting.
Well, I don't know what's the way this is hooked up, whatever is causing it. I can see where I can see what I got going on my mixer board, but if I mess with it, then what I wind up is I lose you. I can't hear you talk.
God,
you talking
don't do
right
that. Oh, no, don't do that. I'm talking now.
Yeah,
I'm trying to root a Nexus 7 while I talk to you.
Well, let's see. I'll do this on my own time. The problem board here, but what I've got it routed through both. I've got two lines in. I've got my main mic in, but I've got another line in to play online stuff. And the problem is, let's see if I can do it this way.
All you need to do in fact, I've got a suggestion. I'm so good at this. Ready? You know what it is? Create a new, you're using Windows, I assume.
Yes.
Are you using Windows? It's not great. Here's what you do. You create a new profile on your computer and then run that profile. Since it won't load up a whole bunch of stuff you've got in your current profile.
Yeah, the second mic is coming from the output of the computer. I've got to figure out a way to do that. Okay, we'll leave. And I'm using a USB sound card that's been acting up through a USB port. If that's better, we'll leave it like that for right now. We'll deal with it later.
No, it's still clipping.
Well, they're telling me in the chat room it's better. We've got 20 minutes left of the show. I'm still clipping, eh? Well, this is, we can either sit and talk about equipment here or I can work with it later. It's up to you.
Oh, well, I'm in a very strange mood today.
You are. Did you sleep last night?
No, for way too long.
Do you know what else
happened over there? I love it. It was a, I hate to say it. It was another moment where somebody made a phone call while they left their Skype unmuted and told their friend exactly what they thought of the host. We won't say his name.
Well.
But they used terms such as retarded and slobbering.
Well, that seems like it should be between the host and them. What do I need to find out?
Well, I don't know. I'm just sharing. I'm just sharing, just waiting for my virtual machine to boot up.
You are moved to share tonight, just like
yes,
in school.
Yes.
Having to have something to share with everybody.
All we need is Tulio. We could share good news.
Yeah, Tulio, call in. Tulio.
Tulio. Tulio, yes.
Tulio, people are calling for you. They love you. They love you.
Yeah, Tulio is kind of a ridiculous type of person, but
I don't know why you'd say that. Just because not everyone sees the world the way you do doesn't mean that they're ridiculous.
I would like people to see the world the way I do. I like everybody to see it the way
would
I
be a terrible. It would be a terrible, terribly boring place. It would.
Okay.
It would be. You'd feel like you were in a psych ward.
Really? I feel like I'm in a psych ward now.
Well, it'd just be a different
my
psych
own
ward.
My own little BTR psych ward.
You know what you should do is you should really just record one half the conversation, leave spaces in there, and then argue with yourself. Or you should Phil Hendry in.
Oh, well, I have done that. I have argued
yourself
with myself on BTR. No, I've done that. I've argued with myself on BTR to convince people that it wasn't me that did something or didn't do something. So I have done that.
Why do an argument right now so we can hear what it's like? You might as well entertain.
No, you know who's the master of that is? Who's the guy? I don't know why I can't think of things when I want to think of them.
Hey.
Dick, what's his name? Who used to pick up the phone and have a one-sided conversation.
I don't know which one you're thinking about, but it's kind of interesting. It's nice to me to hear that you're kind of
starting it. I'm going to start against Suzanne Fleshette. Come on now.
Dick Van Dyke? Or
Dick Van Dyke. Dick Van Dyke. He's probably never even met Suzanne Fleshette.
Bob Newhart?
That's right, Bob Newhart. Did you know that Suzanne Fleshette married Tom Poston?
I think I had heard that along the way, but so long ago. Yeah, so Bob Newhart, that's who you're thinking about?
Yes.
Good. There you go. Folks,
there you go. Bob Newhart used to do a comedy act where he would pick up the phone and have a one-sided conversation. I often do that when I get somebody's answering machine. I have a conversation as if I'm talking to somebody else while their answering machine records.
Well, that's good, you know. What I do is I leave great outgoing messages. It's really...
Who is Lord Voodoo? Who is that? I can guess.
They have gotten the numbers they got.
Why is he going after Bible Truth by Benny?
I don't know why anyone goes after anyone.
I tell Benny that Jesus hates him, but
can't we just all go along?
Apparently not.
Huh?
I guess that would just be too boring. I think that would be too boring as well.
Well, that would be, what it would be like is if you had no one but yourself and your own personality to argue with. After a while, you get tired of it.
As I said, I've done that. I've argued with myself.
Yeah, but not long enough to get tired of it. It's titillating and exciting for a while, but then you rapidly start to wear out.
No, maybe not. When you convince people you're two different people, absolutely, it's a lot of fun.
Well, you know, when you convince yourself that you're two different people, they put you on medication, and that's even more fun.
Well, that's the problem with America. Too many of us are medicated.
You get free room and board, and free drugs, and care.
Is that right?
More. Yeah. You know, you start believing you're two people. You convince, if you're willing to go out, you know, they passed the law a long time ago. Everyone likes to blame Reagan for the mental institutions in California closing out. But what in fact happened there is the legislature passed the Lanterman Fetter Short Act. And basically what it said is you could not hold anyone against their will. And so what happened is...
That really poops on the party of the government, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it did, because everyone says, well, why should I stay here when I or and they'll give me a monthly check and Section 8 housing and stuff. And the institutions started emptying out. There was no reason to have staff to staff these empty psychiatric hospitals, and so they slowly but surely started closing them out. I remember I was in a junior college in Southern California when that happened. Patton State Hospital closed out, and he started getting these very, very, very strange kinds showing up. One guy that showed up, I'll never forget him, Charles, kind of reminded me of Billy Bob in Slim Blade. He kind of looked like that, kind of had that wild look on his face, and, you know, he was always problematic and troublesome when you were tutoring
him. Slim Blade or Sling Blade?
I thought it was Slim Blade, like S-L-I-M.
The name of the character was Carl.
The movie was Slim Blade, though, wasn't it?
Sling Blade.
Sling Blade, like is in a sling.
And the name of the character played by Billy Bob Thornton was Carl. I don't know that we ever knew Carl's last name.
Yes. Anyway, Charles looked like Sling Blade, and he would start to look agitated if he didn't like the tutoring session. I always got along with him. But he was real scared.
Do you go to hospitals and visit mental patients?
No, not as a normal practice.
Have you ever gone to a hospital and visited a mental patient?
No, but like I say, we got a lot of the mental patients in the junior college that I worked at the tutoring center for, and I wanted to tutor.
I believe that there's plenty of them here in BTR. They're right here for you. You don't have to look far.
Well, let's see what this caller has to say.
Must be Coolio going to regale us with bullshit.
Get out of here, one angry Jew. If you want to hear bullshit, listen to what you were talking about last night on Vern's show. That was just totally off the wall. I was counting how many times you used. I was counting how many times you used the word I and me. It was I. Oh, I know this. I know this. What about me? It was one point where whatchamacallit had asked Vern a question, and you were like, why are you going to ask Vern and not me? Not me. Why don't you ask me? I think your ego has totally taken over when angry you. It's
are you
way beyond help.
With my diction, my grammar, what?
Your ego has totally taken over.
Oh, my ego is as big as ever, Tulio. Who
that's right.
Denies
and you're proving my point.
Well, did I ever deny that? I don't believe I did.
Okay, so you're agreeing with me? That's cool. At least you see the flaw.
What am I agreeing you? What am I agreeing about? Tell me.
That your ego is bigger than ever.
Well, it's quite large.
Well, you're not going to get him to admit that it wasn't. I mean, he's very proud of the size of his ego.
Bern, this is the truth. One angry Jew's ego has totally taken over. He thinks that the ego is really him. He really does really think that this ego is him. The ego has totally tricked him that bad.
The ego has squashed the end of the super ego.
Tulio, may I ask you a question?
Of course you may. You just did.
That's a question.
Tulio. Where do you think you're going?
I'm just trying to point out your flaws. That's all. I think what you were saying last night was pretty outrageous. Pretty outrageous.
For those of you
who aren't just where do you think you're going?
What's that?
Just where do you think you're going, Tulio?
I'm not going anywhere. I'm just telling you what I heard last night and what I saw, and I think that your ego is way beyond the limits. You know it's dangerous, right?
Have you ever answered to the name Sally?
Sally?
Sally.
I don't know who that is.
Just answer.
Okay.
You seem a bit flummoxed. Are you all right?
What's that? I'm sorry, you just cut out for a second.
Oh, I cut out. You seem a bit flummoxed. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. What? Now I remember why I was going to call. Vern, I seen this movie called Terms of Agreement, and they talked about Google's privacy.
Did you say you've seen this movie or you have seen this movie?
How should I say it?
What?
Please teach me.
I think I saw this movie.
Okay, I saw this movie.
Thank you so much.
Recently.
Saj will be eternally grateful. Ask her in the chat room. She'll give you some kudos.
It's along the privacies that you talk about, Vern, a few shows a while back. Google's agreement policy its policies in 2001 was that it would not share its information with anyone, period. But in 2013, their policy is it won't share your information with anyone unless served by a legal
I believe that. I believe we have now... I figured out, Vern, that it isn't your computer, it's BTR.
Because the way everything's clipping.
Well, Tulio is clipping.
Tulio is clipping, but he's clipping along at a good rate. I like the way he's clipping along.
Well, he's having a hard time keeping up, I know that. Aren't you, Tulio?
What's that? Giving up?
Right. I think you're having a hard time keeping up, are you not?
Yeah, I can't keep up because you guys keep cutting in and out. It's weird.
Hmm. Oh, it's not just us, it's you.
Oh, I'm off. Okay.
The NSA has fucked up their tap-in lines.
Yeah, it sounds like a tap. It sounds like
it. It says, quickly slipping in and
very
off.
Interesting statement that you just made, Tulio. How do you know what a tap sounds like?
From what I heard in the movies.
From what you heard in the movies? What kind of tap would that be?
That it'll be like this, choppy.
Choppy, really? What movie did you see that had a choppy tap in it?
A Scarface.
Scarface had a choppy tap, really?
Yeah. It was Scarface, I think Godfather, Goodfellas.
Wow.
All good movies, by the way.
Goodfellas had a choppy tap in it?
Yeah, they talked about the choppy tap in there. I think they did, didn't they?
You're not
at the end,
you didn't
when
mention,
the helicopter?
You didn't mention the movie Casino.
Oh, yeah, that movie too, right?
All those mob movies. Hey, folks, we're getting down to the one-minute mark. I didn't hear the one-minute warning, but it says
on
my board.
Who do you have on the line, Vern? I'm curious. Who's there? Who do you have on the line?
Well, I've got a whole bunch of people. I got 8, 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You might be a couple of those. I'm not sure.
No, I'm just me, just one.
Okay, just checking. But so
just,
you know, if you're coming,
you got a Florida phone number, don't you?
I don't check all the area codes.
You don't recognize that area code?
That's, I got seconds, folks. You want to get in here and listen to this this discussion about the Godfather taps, choppy taps, bad taps, tap dancing, whatever. now is the time to do it.
But one angry Jew,
well,
do you
sure,
admit that
sure,
you
on,
have an
sure.
ego, though?
Tulio, you wouldn't even be able to keep it in your head. It would keep falling over. Make sure Bob calls in. I want to talk to Bob.
I think Bob usually makes a point to call in. He wants to. He doesn't want to get left out of any of this stuff there, so I'm sure he's
That's
there.
That's good. Well, unmute Bob. Let's talk to Bob.
Well, he doesn't have it. 10 seconds, folks. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll pick this up next week. And hopefully I
can have
my stuff worked out.
No, this is BTR ranking badly. This has nothing to do with you. It's BTR being screwy.
We're not
but
going into...
Have,
I think we just finished our... So I don't know that we got full moon that we're dealing with.
Well, you're dealing with something, all right.
There's something going on out there, you know.
Oh,
something's happening.
You're asking,
do you, Mr. Jones? I like that song. Old Dylan song.
An old Dylan song? Really?
Bill 661.
Hey Vern, how you doing, man? Is this a paying gig? Did you contact my agent for this?
It's impossible. So he just clipped off. I heard, didn't hear anything he said except for, "Hey Vern, is it a paying gig?"
Can you hear me now?
Again. I can hear you now.
Oh, okay, cool. No, I was just wondering, was this a paying gig? The Jew said he wanted me to call him, but I was just wondering, is this a paying gig, and did he contact my agent?
Does it have to be a paying gig, Bob?
Well, I do charity stuff for free, you know.
Hey, I'm just curious. Did you, you mentioned something about I didn't want to debate Bill Wagner?
No. I said Perry Steele didn't want to debate Bill Wagner.
Well, according to our friend Ron, Perry Steele is a retard in the slobbering category. You didn't happen to catch that, did you?
Perry Steele's a what?
Wow, this lag is really bad.
This just...
Yep.
I'm in a good mood.
No, you were saying... No, I mentioned... about a week ago or something, I told him, hey, why don't you come on the Deathmatch debate show and have a debate with Bill Wagner, and he's too scared to do it. That's what I said tonight.
Well, I'll have a debate with Bill. I like Bill, but I'll debate him.
I'm sure
Bill
you would.
I usually don't agree on conspiracy stuff.
But I want like guys that like, you know, have some animosity built up and, you know, really foaming at the mouth to get at each other, you know, to make it kind of
animosity. You mean like tonight?
Yeah, like Perry versus Bill, Sarge versus All Facts. Me versus Benny,
one,
except he's too
scared. Why don't you have one me versus Sarge?
What do you guys want to debate? I'll ask Sarge about that, see if he wants to do it. I'll set it up if he wants.
He probably won't. I tend to bring him to the brink of a heart attack.
Oh, well. That's not hard to do. But
heart attack. I think he's a passionate, but I don't think you're going to bring him to the brink of a heart attack. Come on.
I don't think really? There's any way One Angry Jew will win a debate against Sarge. No way in the world.
Is that right? I debated Sarge 2 years ago. Trust me.
What would the topic be? Because like, Sarge and Allfacts were chomping at the bit to get at each other for about the better part of 2 months on the Trayvon Martin, hate crime Martin case, I should say. That's what I call it, hate crime. Sarge really? Calls him crayon. I call him hate crime. Mm-hmm. So, you know, nobody let them go at it, and then I'm like, hey, let's have a deathmatch debate, and that's going to be most of the topic, that in Detroit City, stuff like that. So,
what's a deathmatch debate like? Does anybody die in the deathmatch?
Nah, not really, but it could be arranged.
Why do you call it a deathmatch?
Because it's just those two going at it, and nobody else is, like, getting involved, cluttering, and they each get 3 minutes.
One man
answer, uninterrupted.
Yeah, we've had that before.
Well, I mean, you know, that's... You never know.
Why do you call that a death match? Because
well, you got to have a shtick, the title. You know, you got to have a cool name for the show, man. Come on, this is showbiz.
Oh, you mean here on BTR?
Just everywhere. Anything I'm involved in is going to be showbiz.
Mm-hmm.
Ask my agent; he'll tell you.
Why angry you? I have a question for you. Is that when you walk down to, do you do that one with where you wrap both hands around your neck so someone can see them from the back? It looks like someone's hugging you.
That's a very interesting question, Vern. I wouldn't even know how to answer that except for.
We know that you can have conversations. We established that. That's cool. Now the other thing is, do you go around hugging yourself? And do you ever get tired of being hugged?
Why is Tulio laughing? Why do you laugh, Tulio?
Because I totally see that.
You totally see what? What do you see?
You hugging yourself every day and complimenting, looking in the mirror like I'm such a cool guy. I actually see that.
That sounds a bit crazy to you, Tulio.
You sound totally crazy to me. Beyond crazy. I think you lost reality when Angry Jew, and it's not a joke. It's the actual truth. I think you lost grips with reality. That's the
grips
truth.
With reality, really?
Yeah. I don't think you know what reality is anymore. I really don't think you do know.
But what does that mean?
See? You don't know. You don't know what reality means.
But Tilly, you think that's funny. You think you're being funny, don't you?
It's funny to me when I see crazy people or when I talk to crazy people because they're crazy. So I have to laugh a little bit.
Tell me what about me is crazy, Tilly.
Almost everything when angry too.
No, that's not an answer. I think you can do better than that. What about me is crazy?
That's as best as, if you want me to break it down, I think you talk about yourself more than anything. And I think you want to impose the fact that you know things. You're not hitting people with facts. I think you're hitting people with, I know this, I know that. Oh, why don't you ask me? Because I know.
Why does that bother you, Tulio? It doesn't bother me.
That's why I'm laughing. I'm laughing because it doesn't bother me. I'm laughing because you don't know and you think
you brought it up. It seems to have caused you some concern.
Okay, then let's change the subject. I don't want to bring it up. You had asked me about you, my opinions about you, and that's what I had said.
Hello.
Boy, they got a...
Are you there?
Yeah,
honestly,
there,
I would love to hear a debate between Bob and Benny. I think it's time. I hope you two debate on this whole racism thing about Benny. Because I kind of want to lean towards your side, but at the same time, I talked to Benny before, and he doesn't seem like a total racist, but then at the same time, I question it. I would really like you two to debate, Bob, you and Benny.
I would enjoy that thoroughly, but he's scared. He's a pussy.
How do you know that, Bob?
I've asked him 100 times already, and he won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to get down to the mindset of Benny, why he feels a certain way, because this is how I see Benny. Every time somebody mentions the word black, I think he takes it.
Have you ever seen Benny, Tulio?
I think he takes it too literal.
Have you ever seen Benny Toole?
No. I've talked to him and I listened to a couple of his shows.
Well, here's what it is in a nutshell, okay? Benny is one of those guys. I'm sorry.
Did you hear what Benny said, what Tullio said?
I couldn't hear it. I heard the very end and the very beginning.
So how do you know what the hell he said? I don't even know what he said. Tullio doesn't Tullio cannot think in a linear fashion long enough. You could make sense from the beginning and the end, but miss the middle. You could possibly know what he said.
Well, what I was going to say is, what I see is Benny is just another person who has enjoyed the double standard when it comes to racial issues. That, you know, the racial industrial complex or white liberals and their political correctness has imposed on this country for, what, good 50, 60 years now, where blacks can't be racist and they can say whatever they want and they're never racist, which is pure bullshit.
Really wrong.
Right, that's pure bullshit.
Hey, we're about to see a racist BTR show get 404 if everything works out.
And actually, Benny, he's writing in chat right now. He says he is not the least bit racist, and that is just, he's in denial. He's another one of those.
I need to help you out a second. Notice I said the word I, Tullio.
Yes, I'm counting down. I think that's 15 now.
Yeah. What happened to the word prejudice?
Well, it's still an integral part of the legal system, that's for sure.
What happened to the word prejudice to describe people's thinking about other people, races, color, religions, whatever? What happened to the word prejudice? Why are we all using the word racist?
I think racism has a more negative term than prejudice.
You
I
damn
think prejudice.
Right it does. That's right. So why are we all using that term racist? Where did that come from? What happened to the word prejudice? Remember using the word prejudice years ago? Now you don't use it. Now you use racist. Why? Wow, if anybody's saying anything, I heard nothing. It's always nice when BTR works properly. What happened to Bob?
Yeah, I'm right here. Can you hear me?
Barely. But have you noticed that you've accepted that the word racist now is the same as prejudiced?
Well, you know, I mean, either way, whatever.
No, it's not the same word, but have you noticed that the word prejudice has disappeared from the lexicon, the American lexicon? It's never mentioned. Only the word racism, not prejudice. You no longer have prejudices. You have racist thoughts. If anybody's speaking, I don't hear anything. Is anybody speaking? Have I, number 16, totally overshadowed everyone? Out of respect for the Jew, are you being quiet for me?
We're just letting you bloviate, One Angry Jew, until you get tired. We know that you have a limit, so we're just waiting till you get tired.
I don't know that I've ever seen that limit, but all right. Somebody lend Vern a D. I hear Vern typing, so something's working.
But yeah, you know, I'm dying for Benny to try and take me on a debate. I'm living for that day. Come on, Benny. Just quit being a little girl.
Maybe Benny is a girl.
Yeah, I believe it.
No, how do you know Benny's a girl?
I'm gonna start calling Benny Vag.
Listen, I know, Bob, that Melinda is real.
Right. Okay, there's another prime example. You got another racist, Antoinette, who thinks that me and Melinda are the same person, yet you know Melinda's real.
No.
You know that
I know that she's real. Do you know how I know she's real?
Well, the point is, you know that she's real, and you know that she's not me. Sarge has talked to her. He knows that she's real.
No,
he's
talked to
me plenty of times.
I've never talked to her.
Well, I said Sarge has talked to her. I've heard her on other people's show. So he knows that she is real. You know she's
I've
real.
I've never heard her. No, I only know that she's not me.
Sarge knows that she's not me, yet racist
no,
like
I,
Antoinette
I only,
actually
I only
still
know
telling
that
the lie
she's
that me and her
you.
Are the same people.
I only know that she's not you. And the reason that I know that is that a long time ago on BTR, you could read the private chats. I used to read your private chats with Melinda. So I know she's real. Well, I don't know if she's a she. I know that she's not you.
Right. Okay, that's the point. She's not me. But yeah, you have idiots like Antoinette who's telling idiots like Bible Truth by Benny that me and her are the same person, yet there's empirical evidence that she's not. You know, I'm just going by the facts here. Nothing else. Nothing but the facts.
Right from the Jew's lips.
You know, I can prove everything I say about...
Only truth comes.
I can prove everything I say about ABC being a racist. I have the screen caps. I can prove everything I say about Antoinette being a racist. I have the screen caps. But then you have people like Benny, who doesn't even want to see the actual factual evidence, and he's got his head in the sand because they're black like he is, and I'm not.
Wait a minute, who's black?
Benny, Vag.
Is Benny black?
Yeah, he said he is.
Well, how do you know?
Well,
you've never
you
seen
know.
Him.
Well, I just take people at their word. You know, if he says he's black, whatever. Well, Sag says he's half purple. I guess she's seen him. Maybe he is. I don't know. So, but anyways, I'll tell people I'm half breed. I'm half white, half Latino. So. And people have seen my picture posted up on my show, so.
I've never seen your picture.
Well, you can go back and look in the archives on some of my music shows. There's pictures of me in there somewhere on some of the shows.
Okay.
Playing guitar at the University of Maryland's homecoming game.
Anybody
and we were on a radio station,
house?
Part of it.
Anybody calling your parents' house?
Do what?
Anybody calling your parents' house?
Calling my parents' house?
Yeah.
My parents are dead.
Ex-girlfriend? Children you don't know about?
What are you talking about?
Yeah. The end of the Perry Steele show, didn't you know? We don't? Why? It's all right. It's not good.
Did you hear... somebody on there tonight say they were going to rape somebody? That's what I heard.
My mother, I think it was, and Bill Wagner's mother.
Oh, okay.
In fact, Perry even went so far as to call my mother on air from the switchboard.
Lovely.
You got it. Can you say 404? I can say 404. 404.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know... That's that show. Let's leave that show behind here.
Oh,
we're
don't worry.
About,
it's a 404 show.
Yeah, you know, what about Bible Truth Benny and Bob? Bible Truth Benny. You let's see two here.
Should we talk about Bible Truth Benny?
Wait. There's a comment here. That's you. Bible Truth Benny. Would you be interested in a debate that was moderated? And clean, and that there was not just open mic yelling and screaming.
Huh? What's wrong with open mic yelling and screaming?
That would be, you know,
There's going to be a need for a new show for open mic yelling and screaming pretty soon.
Well, listen. I can mute one person at a time so you're not talking over each other.
BTR is already doing that. It's muting everybody.
Give him a chance, Bible Truth Manny. I tell you what, I'll shut down. Would you be willing to give it a shot and try? I will be a good moderator, and I will start opening and closing mics. We'll try and keep it on the up and up and legitimate. And if you want a list of topics to discuss, we'll deal with it that way.
Hey, Vern, I got to let you know that my idea for deathmatch debates is, copyrighted, and you're going to have to be paying me some royalties for that. And send that to Harry Fox agent.
Terrible.
You know what I did? Actually, I gave, like, Sarge and All Facts Mike each got 3-minute opening statements with a timer. I have an online timer. And then when it got to be a minute, I'd let them know there was a minute left and 10 seconds. Just like in the boxing ring, you know, when the corner bangs on the hammer on a block of wood. And then when the questions were asked, they each got 3 minutes uninterrupted by anybody else to answer the question if they needed the full 3 minutes. Don't steal my idea. No, I'm joking with you, man.
I'm saying that I think it's possible to have a passionate debate without yelling and screaming. I'm just trying to take away all the excuses for not being willing to do it.
Benny's a twister. He just twists everything. He just makes up stuff, that I'm going to say this or I'm doing that, blah, 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 blah. No, I'm just going to prove him to be a racist, and I'm going to prove him with facts.
He doesn't have. What constitutes being a racist? Certainly,
well, when all you see is, you know, skin color, and you can't, you know, discern from actual facts, and all you see is your race,
well,
like in the
hate crime Martin case,
you had Bible Truth by Benny, basically convicting an American citizen without his due process, just like racist Antoinette was doing, just like ABC was doing, just like Perry Steele, a whole bunch of people were doing. They were just looking at his skin color. The black, poor, innocent child got murdered. They were actually saying he got murdered before the guy was even convicted of murder. That was racism. Their racism. And like Charles Barkley said, blacks can be racist. But people like Bible Truth by Penny have their head in the sands and don't want to admit that. They're in denial. He's enjoyed the double standard from the politically correct white liberals and the in the racial industrial complex. He's enjoyed that, and they don't want to give that up because they can be two-faced and get away with it.
Humanity is nothing but hypocrisy when it comes down to it. One of my favorite quotes is, what is it? Hypocrisy is a tribute that vice pays to virtue. Whites. That African Americans can't be racist. I certainly don't believe that. I think racism is a state of mind that is exhibited in a whole total hate toward other racists and a belief that one race is better than the other. But, you know, to start from definition, I started a whole file on my computer regarding this because I think it would be an interesting topic to do. I just don't really know when I want to do it. You need to start with what people mean by the use of their terminology. If you're operating in a vacuum and people are making stuff up and racism is whatever I define it to be, then you're talking in nothing but circles full time, you know, and you're not even talking about the same thing.
It's medical, yeah.
So,
nothing to say?
I don't know what you guys were talking about. I'm sorry. I'm trying to take a Sagittarian out to dinner here. Sorry.
Well, Bob dropped.
Yeah. What about Tulio? Did Tulio drop?
No, Tulio's still here.
Oh, lovely. Is that all right, Tulio?
This is just a terrible line tonight.
Yeah, this is bad. This is bad.
We can't even have a...
It's really bad. Yeah, it's the trials and tribulations of BTL.
Well, maybe we need to just shut this one down for tonight and pick it up the next week. You know, when it's working, clipping along, it works well. But people need to understand. They need to know what they mean when they say certain things. And I don't cut definition of what it means to be racist. You raised an interesting point at the beginning of the show is being prejudiced and or discriminating and or indiscriminate. Those are all different things. And I think we've gotten to the point that it's all been mixed up, messed up, and no one can get any clarity on it. Remember, as Martin Luther King says, you know, when the content of someone's character, you know, someone's judged by the content of their character rather than the color of their skin. And for someone to say,
mm-hmm.
We're speaking about. In my opinion, I certainly see it that way. But
this is a great show.
To do a show on racism?
No, this whole show where nobody can tell what the hell you're talking about because nobody can hear you.
Well, yeah, maybe we just need to call it. It'll go down in the archives.
I think that's a fine idea.
You know, when as a friend of mine used to say, when it ceases to entertain and inform, it's time to turn it off. And we're flipping way too bad. I hear people cutting in and out. Nothing can get said in its completion. We now lost Tulio, so that you have no one to pick on there. So I think maybe it's time to put this one to bed. You know, last night we had a good run to the end of the full end of the 2 hours, but it's just not doing it tonight. So, folks, I'm going to go ahead and close the show out tonight. I'll be back next week. My name is Vernon Bohr, a.k.a. Vernon, a.k.a. BQ. Thanks all for listening. Sorry. Great show. The next time, in the meantime, have a wonderful Labor Day off tomorrow and enjoy your time off. We'll catch you next time. Let's see what we can do here. We'll go out with something here. Let's see. What's this?